The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. The gang's here for Ladies' Night. It's 40K Thursdays.
Welcome to the Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Sheet Day 266. That's right, we're 3 days away from 269. And it's an exciting time. The road to 269. Hello, everyone. Darker Design. Hello, Alex. Skinny Boots. War Machine. Hope you well. Will, what up, baby? Hope you well. Daniel Danieri. I know you guys enjoyed the game last night. I hope you guys did. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. It was really fun. Doing coverage is my favorite thing, really. I do all the other work just so I can do the coverage. So really, really fun, even if it wasn't TTS. So how are you all? I hope you're well. They all play so fast. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they do. There's a big difference between tournament gaming and just playing with your friends. And tournament gaming is like rapid fire. So yeah, the game was cool last night. Tom was very salty though. He was hello Agent Nagash, hope you're well. I think Tom's got a thing with the game as is. I think there's a lot to learn, a lot to put out, and it's a very deep and heavy continual cycle, and I can completely understand that. Like, the shifting around of units and armies so vastly, it can take a while to keep a grasp of, if you can even really grasp the meta at all. I know there's a lot of people out there who offer services and do all sorts of other things, but grasping a meta completely, it's a pretty bold statement, no matter who's making it, even me. Wargaming Dad, hi babe, hope you're well. Pizza Guardian, what is going on here? Well, today, because I've been live for 265 days in a row, not including doing 12-hour streams for charity and doing other stuff, today I'm just chilling. I'm just going to chill. I've got some Mephitic Blight Haulers to paint. Oh, the screen's still there. Can you guys see? So I'm going to be doing these guys up now. I'll put a picture in the Discord later of how I've got to. Thanks to a wonderful friend of the show, I've ended up with seven of these Mephitic Blight Haulers, which is the perfect Nurgle number. So I'm very excited about getting them painted. And it's not particularly a serious paint job either. As a painter, I'll answer that question in a sec. Yeah. So today, any questions you got, drop me a question and I'll hit you up. I'm just going to say, and no one needs this advice, but as a painter, my main trick is, what's the main color going to be? As you can see, that army painter skeleton bone, sprayed that on, and then I've just blocked in the other colors. Like, it's super simple. Like, that's my paint style. Like, I pick the base color and I block in another color, basically. It's because I've got to get a shit ton done. I've got, like, over 30 Plague Marines to do after this. That's not including all the characters, which I'll spend more time on. So it's a lot to get an army on the tabletop. I know you guys know that as well. I know you guys know that. And my creative juices for what I want to play, as Datcom will point out, I'm pretty certain, definitely overshadow my ability to get those armies on the tabletop at that speed. I've got still my Skaven to finish, some elements of my Tzeentch. I'm pretty obsessed with the Thricefold Befoulment list right now. I wouldn't mind painting up a Beast of Chaos army. So, and I don't want to paint it. I want to have it painted to play with. That's the difference between having painted to play with and the idea in my head has always been the disconnect, which is why, again, I love doing this for work and as a show, so I can have other people on. Bring your painted army. Like last night, if you guys watched the show, when we did the coverage, there was a wicked Iron Hands list, 3 Leviathan Dreadnoughts, 3 Redemptors, some 2 Tech Marines, and I was like, I'm all into that army. Like, I can't afford it, it's like 600 quid's worth of models, but like, I would collect that army and be like, that's a cool army to play with. And I think that's one of the greatest things about the game generally, is there's so many options, so much variety to play, that your creative juices never really stop. Did you say a few streams ago that you were, that there were new Slash Cav? Yes, Skinny Boots. Actually, if you go onto the Games Workshop Warhammer community page, they've showcased all of the new Sinesh stuff. There's new Sinesh Riders. There's definitely new Sinesh Riders. There's two types. There's an Archer type, and it looks like there's a Cavalry type as well. So there's a whole new Sinesh range, which is very, very exciting. Well, I'm excited by it anyway. How do you get faster for tournaments? Are there any tips or tricks, or is it just practice? Will, it's just practice, brother. It's just putting the models out, playing it. And actually, I wrote about this in the workbook. One of the things that I used to do is I would just get all the models out and I would put them in my deployment zone at home on my own and then take them all off and then re-rack. I mean, because there's the mechanical skill of moving your models. Yeah, just do reps. Like Nick is saying in the chat, there's the mechanical skill of just do reps all day long. And then there's also the longest part of a game is going to be that deployment phase. It's going to be get your tray out, get your models out, learn to organize yourself, have some sort of container for your dice and markers. Nick does that. He has a box where everything's sealed up. I have like a makeup bag. I don't know if anyone has a makeup bag. Makeup box, sorry. Let me just block this part. Block that guy. It's like a makeup box, basically, and it opens out. And should I show you guys? Oh, is it in here? Give me 1 second. I'll come back. I'll show you. It's super cool. Give me a second. Okay, so this is what I rock. See? Super simple. I know it looks massive. But then I never have to bother with anything. Opens up, as you can see. And then you guys can see it's got all the tokens that I need in here. As well as, like, a bag of dice. Some aftershave, which is a big suggestion for tournaments. Bit of a spritz. You're at the tournament, people go, "You smell lovely." And you're like, "Thanks. I really appreciate that." Nothing wrong with that. Then you got, what have we got in here? All sorts. Little, like, objective markers. I've got an exploding dice one, Brizhammer one, League of Knights one, a bunch of dice. So I use these square red dice or blue dice from Games Workshop. As you guys can see, yeah. I use those for wound dice because they're different shape to my actual dice, which are all big. Over there. Big dice. And then I should do like an unboxing. And then I've got like some 9-inch sticks from the TSN. I've got some Element Game ones, apparently. Throw them away in a minute. that's rude. Tape measures, obviously. And a spare tape measure. Always can I suggest having a spare tape measure. I've got a Sigmar & Son little thing. I've got a TSN one. Wound trackers. But basically everything I use to... Lumineth dice. So basically everything I use to ever play with in here. And I know that's a bit bulky, I guess. And if you're traveling around on the tube, I'm sure you can make something smaller or get something smaller. But for me, it's just brilliant. And you just boomf, and there you go. So really easy. There's definitely a whippy stick. Hey, Dave Doge. You look like a boy in a toy shop. love the box. Yeah, so I mean, that was like... So it's a makeup box. That one particularly is from Andorra. Obviously, I went for a black one because I wanted to be at least cool. What dice you got, Rob? Ooh, all sorts of dice. Mainly Honest Wargamer dice. But, like, you normally get dice and you trade up with dice from everywhere else around the world. I was quite excited about that. I do enjoy your little dice trade. Nick's got a cool one where he has a whiteboard attached to the side of his. And then he does, like, his notes. So he always carries, like, a little whiteboard around with him. But you can keep pen and paper in there as well. That's always really helpful for little elements. But I would suggest, like, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, it's a physical game, so you do need tokens, markers, and all those other things. So just turn up with a set of dice is a bit cavalier. I probably could do with having an apron in there, says Hawkeye. That would be fun. A couple of condoms just in case, obviously. You never know how wild it's going to get. Sinesh fashion. Yeah. Rob's dice trigger my OCD. Yes, I have mismatched dice, which actually, a good point when me and James played, I was thinking probably one of the things to do is to get matching dice all of the same color because they're easier to pick up. I don't know. Anyway, I hope that answers that question. But be organized before you get to the games. is the easiest one, and then just practice. Those are the two, I would say, tips for everyone to do, which has been, that's going to be one of those things. Tournaments are going to have to think about whether or not they're going to give three-hour rounds at the start of COVID again. Well, start of tournaments after COVID, because people are going to be out of practice, man. Like, they're going to be slow, generally. And I think that's going to be a mess. Oh, Azrank, thanks for subscribing, baby. And, of course, great opportunity for me to say thanks to everyone who does subscribe or supports me on the Honest Wargamer Patreon. Literally couldn't live without you. So many blessings to you, your household, and your generations of children to come. Or not, whatever you want. To your ancestors and to your... What is it after forebears? Post-bears? That's not right. That doesn't make sense. If you play anything like GC, look, 9-inch sticks are a must. 9-inch sticks are super, super important. 9-inch sticks are like 9-inch sticks and the little 3-inch. You can't get enough of the little 3-inch sticks slash little markers. Literally can't. There's not a way you can get enough of those. Like a little box of those is super useful as well. 9-inch sticks are super useful. Where you can get them from, it really varies. So I don't really want to big up like anything in particular. You can get them off Etsy. A guy called Pro Painted makes some. You can get them from pretty much every store, like Game Mat EU and all those guys. They do stuff like that. I don't think anyone like Army Painter does. There's just like we do some. Actually, I probably should mention that we do some. But there's you get them from everywhere basically. But they're really really useful. You can measure yours and cut your sprues. Marcus Rock, that's a great suggestion. Can I just say, great suggestion from Marcus Rock there. I have OCD and deliberately use mismatching dice because I know it triggers my opponents. Trigger yourself as well. Strong. Right, anyway. Anyone got any questions? Nice, I'll get your support channel. Oh, thanks, Will. I appreciate that. There are some. Honestly, I don't think one shop does like a bundle. It would be good for new players for there to be a one stop. This is the bundle that you need, I'd argue. Maybe that's something I'll talk to James about in the future. He's busy enough. Hey, W. Soren, hope you're well. Do you use wound wheels? Hawkeye, no, I use dice. I use different, so I use large dice for rolling, for like playing the game, and then I use smaller dice, and I use square ones as well. So they won't get, they're not quite as easy to knock. And I generally use dice, is what I mean. The wound wheels, I don't like them, basically. Hey, Milo, how you doing? Starting a Zinch army from a Battle Force box. Any suggestions what to add? Is it the new Battle Force box? Let's go find out what's in the Battle Force box. Hold on, give me but a moment. Because that is, I don't know that off the top of my head. Zinch Battle Force. Anyone know what's in there? Chat. Let's go. The bill. Is it here? No. Is this it? Oh, there it is. Okay. Okay, you got a load of Acolytes and a Lord of Change. Well, so it depends on some Zangor. Depends what you want to do, bud. If you want to be competitive, you need to pick up some Pink Horrors and some Flamers. However, there is potentially a Karrick Acolyte list, but it requires you to take a lot of Karrick Acolytes. Like a lot. So effectively what I'm saying is you can take the Lord of Change out of here. You can build a Change Host. Or, or you can go a bit weird and janky. You can build the Lord of Change. You've got Kairos is probably your better choice if you're not building into a Change Host, because he's got lots and lots of utility. However, you can do some Karrick Acolyte spam, but it is going to require you to spend the same amount of money that you would spend on buying the Flamers and the Pink Horrors as you would spend on building into the Acolytes. And the Acolytes will only really play in one particular way, whereas if you buy the Flamers and the Horrors and Screamers, you can play them in Host Arcanum, you can play them in Duplicitous Host, so you've got a variety of ways to play them. So unfortunately, that would be the way to play. However, Hankin 23 has got exactly the right point. We are just about to get the winter FAQ in the next 1 week to 7 months. So I'd hold off any purchases until you see the winter FAQ. Because if Flamers go up a significant amount of points, they'll still be good, but they might be a lot less efficient effectively. So hope that helps. Effectively wait, build yourself a Kairos, get painted. That'll take you a while, and then hold off, and then wait to see what the winner FAQ points come back, and then come back and we'll give you a little one. Games Workshop intern, nice to see you here. Pink Horror's points increase, check. No, Games Workshop intern, they're fine where they are. You leave them, babe. Hey, Chugger Buddy, how you doing? How would you go about starting a loyalist themed Emperor's Children army? I mean, you could just do pre-heresy, but you're talking about in 40k. Also, I hope you're well, gorgeous man. I hope you're good. Thanks, Tim Box, for following us. Appreciate that. And Reef, thanks for subscribing. What's going on? It depends. Yeah, are you talking about 40k or heresy? And like, sorry again, says that was going to be my next suggestion. You check out the Sons of the Phoenix chapter. They effectively are that. Ultimately, so there you go. Much love to you. Oh, really nice to see you. Merry Christmas to you and yours, you gorgeous fella. Okay, good. I'm gonna keep painting. I always try and paint on these streams, and I just end up like just chin wagging away. I mean, that's the point, I guess. Podcast bros, stay hydrated. I haven't done that yet today. These are my little blight haulers, by the way. I'm very happy with these guys. I paint these first. These are the things I'm most excited about painting in the army. And then after that, like, I'm not quite as keen, I would say, to paint up the 30 or so Plague Marines I'm going to have to paint up, but whatever. It'll be fine with me. I'm painting up some Mephitic Blight Haulers from the Death Guard range. I'm hoping that this entire project will be finished before Christmas Day, because that's when all of the terrain will pretty much be coming for me doing all the terrain in the venue. So started designing those boards the other day with James, which is very, very exciting. So I got a question for you guys. So we're doing Age of Sigmar boards, but they're also 40k compliant. So it should work for both. That's my hope, anyway. Truthfully, the reason for that is cost, because it's a significant cost, like either buying terrain or printing terrain. So doing it for the 8 tables for the T-Sports Arena is a significant amount of money we don't really have. So we're 3D printing it all, which is very, very exciting. However, like, it takes a lot to like build in the dimensions. If, of course, you aren't just building ruined city. I know 40k. Oh, Dreadwoods, yeah, man. Fuck yeah, I'll drop you a message. 40k. I know the entire of 40k, no matter what you read, no matter how you, if you read about like death worlds or forests made of glass or poison toxic environments or any of those, I know that that is what 40k is set in. However, obviously every battle ever is only happening in a ruined city, only ever, not an alive city, a ruined city with no infrastructure, nothing, it seems, of any use at all, like nothing valuable, just ruined brick. It makes me feel like brick might be, or whatever that cities are made of, is the most valuable resource in 40k. Do you have a quick method for painting flesh? Promote yourself for a purchase of 70 Sisters of Slaughter. Jabs. If I were you, Jabs, I'd do a spray paint that's the flesh, because knowing the Sisters of Slaughter models, you're better off spraying it with a colour primer from Army Painter. They'll have like a flesh color one. Spray paint it in like the flesh color, and then pick out all the other detail in like the other detail on top, because getting to the flesh is actually really hard. So just start there, then pick out all the detail on top, and then just give it all a wash. Fucking bam, bam, bam. Where are the toilets in the ruined cities? Yeah, agreed. just started painting OBR, says Scott Brent. Do you feel the stank of their old AP rules has worn off yet? Is it safe to tell my friends I'm playing them in 2021? Scott Brent, yeah, man. It's definitely fine. No one, the crawlers are what they are. You can't do anything about them, and they're going to be there. Okay. There's a question from the Pissball General. In AOS, if a unit has things like 1 in 10 can be a leader, 1 in 10 can be a mission, 1 in 10 can be a banner bearer, it doesn't state that these unit upgrades can be on the same model. Is there anything in the rules that means that this isn't possible? Example I'm thinking of is Iron Guts and having the Gutlord, the Bellower, and the Runebearer be as the same model for janky gamers. There's nothing in the rules, Pissball General, but just don't do it. Like, it is the simple answer. Like, I understand it, and maybe there is something in the rules somewhere, but I just don't do it. So, whatever. They can be the same model. But I wouldn't do it. So that's, anyway. I have no reasoning for that other than sounds crap. So there you go. Hey, Herminister. Hope you're well, Speckles. See you there, baby. Also, not taking crawlers, also good. Okay, you're even better then. You're in an even better place, Scott. You're laughing. 40k scenery board I would like to see is a wood jungle board with military outposts, tents, trenches. Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds really fun. One of the things, if you guys haven't been on it, one of the things I've been looking at for 40k, obviously, is using the WTC terrain maps. And they have some very specific dimensions, both in height, width, and length. So trying to design something works in that as well. And also because, as we saw from the game last night, the guys from the WTC, specifically Ishik, who's done that terrain, and I've talked about this so much on the show the past few months, but honestly, it's so, so, so important. Like, has designed the map so the units work better. Like, I can't talk about it enough. Like, units, I've played a couple of games here where we've just picked up random terrain, me and Nick, and we've had everything obscuring, but actually the infantry really struggled because it wasn't breachable, whereas if some of those elements had been breachable bits of terrain, then they would have been able to hug behind it and then run into the other side of it, which would have been super cool and really, really useful for your infantry. So lifting up infantry in the game, I think, is one of those things that 40k has always really needed. And I think those terrain maps do a really good job of it. Are they perfect? No. Are they brilliant? Yes. Like, should we continue to use them and then build terrain to match them for tournaments? 100%. Super involved with that. Rob just sent you an unsolicited git pic. I hope you enjoy. I don't think we should make a joke out of sending unsolicited git pics, but I really want to, Diadrin. I really, really, really want to. Do you accept donations for printed terrain, Hawkeye? Yeah? Hells yeah. Drop me a message. Like, hell yeah. Anything like... All right, I'm not beyond saying it. If anyone's got any terrain that they don't want or anything, that they want to throw the Honest Wargamers way for our venue and arena, I'll take it. Whatever it is. Be it a half fucked up realm gate, a little bit of pipes you bought one time for a project, anything. Drop me a message on the Honest Wargamer Twitter or my Twitter or whatever, or a Discord. Drop me a message and I'll take it, because terrain's a lot of money. Like, fuck. I feel sorry for those large events who have to do a shit ton. But you can see why the ticket price is so high, right? Because they have to recoup the loss of all of that. Can I build it, use stuff, and ship it to you? Yes, that's absolutely fine. I would also accept that. I'll accept any terrain, unless it's obviously a terrain made completely of penises, in which case, please send that to my house. Hey, Chris Frostrain, hope you well. If you guys are interested, a little thing in the chat. So Chris, you can see in the chat there, Chris has started 3D printing, or maybe even designing. I'll be honest, I don't know 100%, but I am trying to give him the shout out. I think it deserves. He started to do ultimate sculpts for a whole bunch of really cool models, and I think he has a store set up for it as well, which is quite a cool little feature. So that's Chris in the chat. He might be able to drop his store or something in there for you guys to go check out. There was a very cool looking Harlequin model in there for Harlequin fans, which I liked. It's worth looking out. Chris, you can just drop it in the chat, man. I'm super cool with that. It looked really, really cool. And Chris is a really lovely fella. You'll only get a professional kind of service from him, I imagine. Not that I've dealt with him. So, Chris, if you end up being a shitheel, yeah, I'm going to say it. What made you want to paint Beast of Chaos? I've wanted to paint Beast of Chaos for a long time. They're just super, super cool models. I think the real problem with Beast of Chaos is that there's just too many models to paint. That has to stop. Has anyone in the chat had an army they've wanted to paint, but the number of models required to paint it has been an obstacle? I do wonder. I wonder. Just sent your model holder. Okay. Nice work, Chris Rostrin. Yeah. Chris is a lovely fella. Very tall, though. I'm not saying he's too tall, but close. I'm just going to say close. Denner, I'm slowly getting through the slog of Orc Boys. Oh my god, Denner. How would you feel if new Orc Boys were coming out? Shit. Drama. Drama in the works. yeah, for sure. Both Gits and Death. Yeah, Milk, like, I'm with you. Like, I would love to do a Nighthaunt army, but then also, nah. And I know Chuck, if Speckles is in the chat, he did his with an airbrush, and he said it was super quick and easy to do, and his looked wonderful. And I know you can do a good job on them. It's just, no. Like, I would want to, though. I would want to. Skaven and Gene Sealer Colts. Oh, no. That's so many models. Gene Sealer Colts, especially because the models are beautiful. They're really well put together. I bet 300 militia cultists for 30k, which totals 750 points. And then he says, numbers are no longer an obstacle for me. I have passed through the eye of the needle. Death. I no longer fear death. Fuck. When you start scaving, you're like, neat, I get 20 bottles of box, and then later you regret it. Agreed. Oh, God. I have a 100-man free guild army in Hammerhall colours. It's taken a year, and I'm halfway. Oh, it's Seppuku. Yes, I understand that. Because there are also intricate models as well. I'd say all my armies are a lot and daunting me to paint. Freaks and Deeks. Yeah, same, buddy. I mean, even the thought of 30 Death Guard shouldn't really scare me, because I'll do 30, like I did 60 rats during lockdown as well for my Skaven. But like the Death Guard, you have to like do a nicer job on, I guess, which is weird. I love Horde armies, but I struggle going through them. I have been taking a break after painting 120 goats, and I know I am halfway through. All right, Jaconda, I get that. I completely understand that. Do you do like a palette cleanser? Like, do you paint up a single model, like, to make yourself feel better about it and then get back to it? Painting a huge Nagash counts at the moment. Yeah, Nagash is daunting. If you had to delete an entire range from AOS, both AOS and 40k, what ones? Oh, no. AOS and 40k? 40k Eldar. Not even a question. Eldar all day. I delete every Eldar. And any elf. Anything with a pointy ear. Out. And then Age of Sigmar. I delete anything. Great question. Maybe Eidleth? Like, I'd keep the turtle. Can I delete INF but keep the turtle? I'm into it. I hate their lore. Their lore's like, bleh. They live under the sea and they raid the coastline. Like, I'm sorry, Little Mermaid. I don't care. Like, I just don't care. You've got nothing I'll ever care about. I'll never care about anything that's happening with the INF story. End of conversation. So, and that's a narrative decision, not anything else. Games Workshop intern, when the total worldwide numbers of orcs painted reaches the numbers that fought at Armageddon, then Orc Boys Redo activated. Games Workshop intern, whoever you are, I like you. I'm glad that you finally started talking to us after 3 years of taking notes. Pete, the WTC tray maps are really important in the indication of the amount, type, and placement of scenery pieces. But I hope that the people outside the extra WTC remember that it can be used as just a guide that doesn't become a fixed format that is religiously adhered to. I'd want to see more varied aesthetic character of terrain than the uniform concrete jungle events. Pete, I agree with you, absolutely. Pete, that's why I'm using the WTC format terrain types and then building terrain that's different. So we're, like, James is printing me for the venue. We're printing, like, a very Aztec, Seraphon kind of set of ziggurats and warp portals. All this stuff is from printable scenery. I'm then going to, like, cut it into a piece of MDF wood, which is the size and shape that you would think of for WTC, and then I'm gonna like tier it and structure it so that it fits the kind of like the aesthetic, not the aesthetic, the idea and the what's the word I'm looking for? The structure. That's not the word. There's the aesthetics and there's the functionality. The functionality of the WTC layout. So the functionality designed, or the functionality that's intended, will be in place, but hopefully it'll look different. That's the plan. That's my plan. There's also a really cool, like, Orc Citadel from Printable Scenery. I'm going to print up the kind of Orc walls and use those instead. So I agree with you, absolutely, Pete. Absolutely on your side. And you're my main reason that I'm doing it, so I hope, They make a pretty cool horror book, though, like Dread Harvest for Sylvaneth. Yeah. I'm off to buy Tears of Reader in Earth 2 and rename it the Eel Sports Arena. thanks, everyone. The functionality. 40K terrain has to be functional because it makes a better game, but that functionality really doesn't allow for very creative-looking board spaces. So hopefully in the future we end up with more creative-looking board spaces that are more functional. Yes, that's what we're looking for. That makes sense. Break up my hordes of big models or a hero. I got a Mail Sworded Gorgon conversion going. That's good, Draconda. Chaos Dwarves, staying. They're in. I tried doing different skin tones on my Gitz army. 12 different tones over 140 grops was brutal. Oh my god. I only finished the cloth on 45 and shelved them. It's draining. Man, that must have taken ages. That must have taken ages. Fuck that. All day. Printable Scenery do put out some great stuff. Yeah, there's also some really good Kickstarters for 3D printing as well. I really do think 3D printing, at least for terrain, is going to be the future. Because ultimately, you can just put so much out if you end up getting yourself a fairly good one. Again, I don't know much about this. I'm sure there's guys in the chat who will be able to give you more. I'm taking all my advice off James. He's printed quite a bit of stuff. So I'm very much looking forward to putting some of that stuff on the tabletop and building some really nice themed boards as well, which would be really fun to do. And I don't know about anyone else, but I'm kind of just sick of playing on Imperial Worlds when I play 40K. And I also feel like Age of Sigmar has got so much more creativity you can apply, because terrain rules aren't quite as important. The terrain layout isn't quite as important, like, at all. So, you like, designing some really nice themed Age of Sigmar boards could just be so much fun. But obviously making sure they're still functional. Making sure they're still functional is, I think, really important as well. One of the things we tried to do and express at the Super Series terrain was to make a board that was functional and terrain that impacted the game, so it was at least made the games feel different. And I think that's really, really important, because otherwise you might as well just not put terrain on the board at all, which is super weird. James, Meg's boyfriend, James. Or wait, what did we decide he evolved into? Did anyone know? I can't remember. I can't believe I didn't mention this. Rob says, Draconda. Rob, what helped me with painting all those hordes? Watching your event commentary and TTS event on the weekend really helped me get creative juices flowing. Oh, thanks, man. Oh, I'm glad. I'd really just like to do tournament coverage anyway. It's super fun. I find it really engaging way of talking about the stuff. So I know one of the questions coming out at the moment, obviously, is the question about Death Guard and, you know, discussing resilient changing from the 5-up DPR to -1 to wound. How good was it that we were able to do a game coverage, which is 2-3 hours, talking about the game that we were witnessing, watching these Iron Hands play with the Dreadnoughts, and the Dreadnoughts being -1 to wound, taking -1 off the damage, very much like the new Death Guard was, and seeing how effective that was. Really, really good. Just tournament coverage, I feel like, is, because it's in the moment, it's happening whenever the stories are happening live. Just, anyway, you know, you guys know I love it, so whatever. Not long now, though. 6 months. I reckon 6 months and we'll be up and running. Not, it might be less, but I, like, feel I can guarantee 6 months. And that's thrilling. That's thrilling. Yeah? Well done to the community. We're all doing it. And I hope to see you guys coming out of that 6-month lockdown with a whole bunch of models painted up, a whole bunch of armies ready to rock. Very excited to see you guys. It's going to be really fun. Have you ever looked at a single Games Workshop artwork and tried to design a list around it? No, but I collected a faction because of one model that I saw in White Dwarf, which was a Riser. It wasn't even like the main story. It was a Riser painted Mechanicum Tech Priest. And because of that, I started collecting Mechanicum, and then I painted them Riser colored. So, not because of an artwork, but because of a single model. I've definitely done that. That's definitely cool. Proper missed tournaments too. I've been practicing being on my feet all day using standing desk now. Me too, bud. Yeah, that's good. I hope that's helping out. I know you're like a big fitness guy, so I'm glad that I've been doing that as well. Commentating from a standing up desk is so much better. So much better. We're doing that in the future all the time. I'm going to miss these daily streams so much. Well, we're definitely hitting the year mark. So we're definitely going till March. Definitely going to March. And then I might just do the Monday through to Friday and just reclaim my Saturday, Sundays, potentially. So don't think that they're necessarily going away, because they've been as important to me as I hope that they've been to you guys as well. Like, it's been really, really important to me to be able to come talk to you guys. Like, even today, the fact that you all tune in and I'm just sat here painting, having a yammer, is super, super cool. I don't feel like it's, I don't feel really very worthy sometimes of that, but it's nice that you guys want to turn up. And just hang out. So I love it. So thank you. So it's as valuable to me as it is to you guys. I want you to know that. So thank you for coming and turning up. And if you don't, and if you're one of the podcasters who listen or the YouTubers who watch it back, I still appreciate you guys as well. So they're not necessarily going to go away. That's what I'm saying. Are you painting? I am. I've done two. How dare you, gentlemen? How dare you? Look, two are done. Two are done. Right? Looking pretty good so far? Yeah? I've still got loads of detail to put on, but not bad. Not bad. I'm pretty excited by these guys. Do you want to see a finished version? Hold on one moment. Okay. This is my finished version. You guys should be able to see now. Okay. So I've used some streaking grime on him to try and make him a bit more grosser. And then I've tried to use some typhus corrosion. I don't know if I liked it though. I've used it on my plague surgeon sword. I don't know if you guys can see that. Can you see it? Is it going to focus? Probably not. So yeah. Not too bad. Not too bad. But we'll see. I was trying to think about what Age of Sigmar army to do next year, and what I'd want to play. I've got my Tzeentch, and I really, really want to play that some more. But then beyond that, probably Slaves to Darkness. It's just so exciting, Slaves to Darkness, at the moment. I don't see anything I can think. Has the stream streak made you a better commentator? I hope it has. I hope I've improved in my commentary as well. I've become more self-aware, tried to stop being such a mouthy twat, and listen to other people. Maybe you guys would be able to tell me if that's true or not. I'm not sure. I'd like to think that practice is going to make commentating better and better all the time. So the more we practice commentating, which is why we did a game last night, and why like the arena is so important to us as a project, because we'll be able to hold tournaments all the time, and then we'll be able to practice commentating all the time. And we're just going to get better at that, like you guys and like all of us will get better at playing any game. The more you do it, the better we should get at it. So I'm really hoping, like, you know, when there are major events and people that don't listen to the show all the time anyway, you know, when we come and do some big style coverage, so let's say Bobo's on again, or the LGT or WTC, or like pick a thing, Capital City Bloodbath, like a big event like that we're at, and people who don't normally listen to the show tune in, they think, oh, wow, this is really good and super professional. And also there's about 100, 200 kind of like absolute lunatics in the chat who keep saying to eat jam sandwiches and fuck your buddy. At that point, I'll probably make you all moderators in the chat. Which will be a fun time for all of us, I think. Like, we'll have like buzzwords of like jam sandwiches, everyone, and they'll be like, oh, my God, Riot. I'm going to try streaking grime out this weekend, Stu Flynn. Good. Typhus Corrosion needs Rise of Dust dry brush as step two process, in my opinion. Typhus Corrosion needs a Rise of Dust dry brush as step two process, in my opinion. Okay, Gorkamork, thank you. I'm going to go look up that and try and add that in. You should do a Slave's Darkness. You should totally 3D print your head for the general. What? Generic man head, which is what my head is. Like... Oh dear. I'm really hoping Broken Realms will reinvigorate Beast of Chaos and Sylvaneth and Nighthorn and loads of things. They don't need to be top tier, just some love to get creative juices flowing. Yeah, I think that'd be good. Have you considered a jam themed army? I have not considered a jam themed army. But there was once a guy who made his entire army out of marshmallows, right? That was a thing. I saw someone do one time, which was super weird. question to everyone in the Twitch chat, for your first event, like let's say there are events next year and you feel comfortable going to them, not putting pressure on anyone, what army are you most excited about taking? Or is it really going to depend on like where the game's at then, like what armies are playing, or have you guys got something that you have like lined up to physically play with? Your face with a Chaos Dwarf hat. The Chaos Dwarfs just look like me. That's why I like him so much. Have I finished my Archeon yet? My Archeon has been finished, but it was never done by me. It was always a joke. My friend Tom, who is an absolutely phenomenal painter, artist, graphic designer, theologian, dog groomer, but terrible talker, has done painting up my Archeon, and it's beyond good, basically. So I don't have any pictures to show you, but I might do. The real problem is, am I ever going to get back off him? I'm not sure. White Scars, full army, all painted and based. Can't wait. Oh, great work, Chucklebuddy. And they're like one of the most competitive armies in 40k at the moment. So we expect you to do really well. Hope you've been practicing. Get good. I think it's the right one. Glog's Mega Bob, if I can. I think my first event will be a small friends get together and playing through the rest of Blackstone Fortress. That's nice. That's really nice. Those models are amazing as well. Who doesn't love Blackstone? I remember, easy choice for me since I stick to my one faction, Skaven and Admech, but with new painted up stuff. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. You do know, though, it's going to die first turn if it's new and painted. That's how it works. That's the science. You know, anything that's been freshly painted or built dies first game or in the first tournament. So you can't take a new army to a tournament and win. It's not how it works, basically. So remember that. Christmas question. Woohoo! What are your favourite Xmas sweets and cookies? Fudge. Fudge. I'll pack fudge in my mouth all day. Like, I love fudge. Fudge, 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 fudge. Fudge, 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 fudge. Have you ever been to the Christmas market and there's like the really shit fudge, but it's like in giant boxes and they're like, all right, love, get £30 of fudge for £2. And you're like, I'm in. And you get a bag of fudge this big, yeah? And it's like £4. And you go home and you eat all the fudge and then you have diabetes. That's me. Don't have diabetes yet. But fudge is the answer. If I also want to. I really don't want to get stuck into Daughters of Cain after playing Ideath Deacon since they dropped. I really want to. Looking to push myself more on the competitive scene. Okay, Jabs. Good luck, baby. Those Sisters of Slaughter, if that's what you're playing in, they're going to be really good. They're really, really good. My 10th game ever will be with a Despoilers Slaves Darkness list with a normal team of Prince and Bellicor. To be sorry, you really go to the deep end there. That's good. Skinny Boots, you're going to do FEC to start playing this game? Yes! That's exciting. I'm into that. Diachasm, hopefully. It's not going to be Diachasm. Games Workshop intern. No one's bought it. Yeah? Don't you lie. Games Workshop intern. They're full. There's racks of Diachasm hidden somewhere. I had been looking forward to playing Poxwalker Spamlist the Play Company's rules from psychicacquaintances.com, but I don't think I'm going to get to play until after the Codex now, lol, so who knows. Yeah, .com. And also, I'm hoping the Poxwalkers become like an important element of the Death Guard book as well. I really do, I really do. I'd like the Death Guard book to be like, I really like what the Mephitic Blighthaulers used to do, where they buffed, and I really hope that that stays, where you get like buffing, demon engines, Poxwalkers play a kind of role as well. I could really see that being like very, very good. Really, really good. But obviously we don't know until later. Good work. Brown sugar or chocolate fudge? Just vanilla fudge. Just vanilla fudge. I don't want to like tie up a bit of fudge to a wall and whip it. I don't want to like pour candle wax over the fudge. None of that. Yeah, I don't want to dress it up in a gimp suit. And whatever people do, I want plain, boring vanilla fudge. No messing about. I don't want it to be a Bailey's. I don't want it to be like mint cream. Fudge. Just regular fudge. Stop messing about with it. It's just outrageous. Thanks to Fear the Monkeys for subscribing during the middle of my fudge-based BDSM rant. Rob, if you create a war scroll for the new Bugma model, what would you write? Ooh. I would give him the ability to do what you do on the Centaurs, where you can give a unit +1 to hit. Potentially also give them +1 to attack? No. They wouldn't hit as well. I'd give them +1 attack, +1 to wound, but they lose their -1 to hit because they're drunk. So they're just wildly swinging, but they've got more attacks because they've got drunk power. And then I would make them... So basically, you would have a buff ability to make a unit drunk. So you would have basically infinite courage, so immune to battle shock, because obviously you think you're the toughest fighter in the world. Some sort of shout attack or ability that says, oi you, I'm going to clobber you, and you get like +2 to charge against them. That's another ability. So this, you give this to a unit. So it's supply liquor to a unit is the ability. Just let's give him 7 wounds, 3 up save, 5 up DPR. That can be his kind of stat line. Give him a boss hammer that like does 4 damage, 4 attacks, 3s, rend. 1, it's a hammer, right? Does 4 damage though. Bosh. Just fucking blopping people on the head. That's great. But his ability is give a keg to a unit. Minus 1 to hit because they're drunk as hell. But plus 1 attack, plus 1 wound, immune to battle shock until their next hero phase, at which point they need some sort of like debuff. Maybe they need more buffs to make the debuff worthwhile. But you need some sort of debuff afterwards, after the next turn, where they're half movement. Half movement. Or if they move at their full movement, they take D3 more wounds because they're just drunk. Right. That's the one. Vanilla Fudge, most boring thing Rob is into. How to make pot walkers important. Sacrifice them as ammo for playbook crawlers. Extra damage shots. Oh my god, yes. That would be super fun. Poxwalkers, you can jam in the blade burst crawlers. I'm really into that. I do like the idea that maybe you can't, like, they do like a cloud of flies thing where you can't shoot anything else in the army if poxwalkers are in the way. Like, you must always shoot at the poxwalkers. I know that that would be very, 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 very strong. And then obviously, if you can't see them, then you can ignore that. You can straight pass them as well. But I think that would be like, basically, if you can draw a line between a unit and the poxwalkers, you have to shoot the poxwalkers first. That could be cool. That could be cool. Maybe that's super strong. Maybe that's too strong, saying it out loud. But random statements of Skinny Boots, but I think I've completely lost interest in 40k. Okay. What is the reason as to why? I'm actually really interested in 40k at the minute. Not so much like the hyperspec competitive scene, but that's because I don't really see it existing right now. I know there's like ITC stuff, whatever, but America's like a hotbed of infection and stupidity, so we'll ignore that. But like, I'm excited for when it comes back and start playing games with all my buds. So I'm quite excited by it, personally. Really excited for Age of Sigmar. But also, like, there's a bit of a shadow over Age of Sigmar at the minute because you know that the new edition's coming around the corner next year. So I'm kind of like, well, what's going to happen? Do you know what I mean? So, which is weird. Whereas I know we're in the new edition for 40k. So I kind of feel more comfortable with it. Rob the Savant drop here, just dropping a narrative war scroll. It's also a powerful war scroll. How dare you, Tristan? Yeah. Nathan would play with that war scroll, I would like you to know. He'd play with that war scroll all day. Have you ever seen the Dark Tide trailer from last night? Yes, I have. I have. So Dark Tide is the people that made Vermintide, right? And they have got a new trailer out for the new kind of like 40k version where you can play an Ogryn. So I'm quite excited about that. But I'm gonna break Cabbage's heart now and say this. As much as the world is beautiful for Vermintide, and it looks like it's also beautiful for Darktide, I do find just the endless hordes of stuff you just kind of smash a bit rubbish. I'm not really into it. Like, you know, just surrounded by dudes, you just keep hammering them all day. Just, it feels a bit, I don't know, I didn't like it overly. Like, I didn't think it was the most fun mechanics in the world. It felt like, you felt like a god, which was cool. I guess I'm not that interested. I think the biggest news that's come out today, and I'm sorry it's not Warhammer related, is obviously Always Sunny in Philadelphia has been renewed for 4 more seasons, taking it up to a total of 18 seasons, which is possibly one of the most exciting things for me, because I'm into Fight Mill! 4 more years! 4 more years! So I'm really excited about that, personally. That's again the but I'm not too bothered about the 40k game, if I'm honest, Colonel Cabbage, just because I didn't like the game mechanics. Looks cool though, looks really, really cool, is all I'm gonna say. The thing in the steam, as compared to Vermintide, I love painting Imperial Guard tanks, lol. Okay, what are you guys talking about? I'm not too interested in 40k because of the scoring rules and having to buy 3 to 4 books to play your army. Well, the 3 to 4 books that you can defeat by just going on Warhabedia, so. Like, there's that, which is good. And then the scoring rules I love. Like, the scoring rules are what make me love 40k now. Like, I'm so into them. Like, yesterday was so much more fun. So much more fun to commentate on the game yesterday versus old ITC 40k. It was so much more interesting. That fight between a unit of Scarabs and that one little Marine was very, very, very important. where the whole metagame was going to go with the end of game scoring with the secondaries was super fun. Like, I loved it. Like, it's I really do think it's a much, much better game. I won't stop talking about how I think it's loads better. It's not as one and zero. It's not so like black and white as to the results. And I like it a lot. Really, really like it. I think it's really good. There's a super fun meta game to New 40K as well, which I think is really exciting, that's emerging, especially with the Death Guard, which I think the Death Guard release is actually a hype positive for the meta game, because you almost have to guarantee that you're going to play Marines. Knowing that you're definitely going to play Marines means you spec your army to have some damage to weapons knocking around. You know, that's super important. So you can punch through those intercessors, punch through whatever you might be facing against those two wound Primaris, because they're super strong. And then you come up against Death Guard and they're like, lol jokes, you're only doing the one damage. And so that thing that you spec'd into, or that you can guarantee is going to be at tournaments, has now got a counter in the meta. And that's super fun. I also feel like that would be fun for team games as well. You know, like if you could match up the Primaris hunting army into the Death Guard build or play, then the Death Guard, like, you know, for the team matching process, you end up with us like a strong kind of like counter, which is quite fun. So I'm really into that. Objectives is what really got me back into Warhammer in general. Remember when old Warhammer Fantasy Battle was just kill the other army? Yeah, the objectives game is where it's at, like, all day. I am really disappointed with actions in 40K, though. I do think that they've super missed the boat on the actions thing. But other than that, I think it's really, really good. I found out the new 40K lore engaging at all, whereas the Broken Realms obviously seems really interesting to me. That's fair. I would definitely say that the team behind the lore for 40K at the minute are really weak. We're probably going to be in a weak stage of lore production for a long time. I mean, there's still the stuff coming out of Black Library. But I got no faith in the 40K lore team who are doing that are part of the Codex team, basically. Which are separate from, obviously, Black Library guys. Tell you what, you have to stay hydrated, eh? Super important. Right. It's getting towards that time, but I might just hang around, because I think... Yeah, we can. Okay, all right, I've got some time. So, I was meant to be having a meeting, but my meeting's been postponed. So we're hanging out for longer, if you guys are all right with that. It's pretty chill for me. Just going to keep painting. And if you guys want to ask me any questions, feel free. Oh, yeah. I don't know why this is remotely interesting, but I appreciate that you guys are here. I really, really do. That is another... There you go. Another Blight Hauler down. Of the six to go. Gribbly boys. Very excited about these guys. And then I can guarantee, because I'm really excited about them, they're going to suck in the Deathwalk Guard Codex, which is why I think it's been delayed. I think GW have heard that I'm collecting them, and so they've just taken it off production so they can just make the Mephitic Blight Haulers suck. But whatever. Whatever. We all know Seraphon have disgustingly good book, but why are Razordons so good awful, and what could make them competitive? Map readiness, I don't necessarily think that they're awful in any way, shape, or form. I just think that they are... If you could give me Razordons in another book, I'd take them. All day long. Like, there's a bunch of books that if I could take Razordons, I'd take them. Especially in ones. I just think it's that the rest of the book is so strong that that's why they don't get a look in, personally. I'm not on board with you on that one. But of course, you're welcome to disagree with that statement. But for me, I don't think they need a rewrite. I think they're fine, personally. Crocs of War could do with some love. Rob, you should grow your beard, see how long your beard can get. Oof. I just get a bit Mormon-y. Like, I get a bit Amish. It goes very wide. And it's like, it's a whole vibe. Plus, if I'm going to, like, commentate some big events next year, they can't be like, look, it's another neck beard. Do you know what I mean? I've got to be like, fucking, we've got to get the normies on side and get them in our squad, and then we can like slowly convert them into being fucking weirdos like us lot. Just got to drag them over so Do you know what I mean? That's why I had to get rid of the fucking... Like, did you see my ponytail that I used to have? Did you see it? I looked like a menace. I bet people wouldn't invite me around their house. Like, I look like a proper Rogan. I'd cross the street if I saw me, which was the point, I think. Why is this dog sad? Because he hasn't got any treats yet, because it's not Christmas. He's looking forward to Christmas. He's waiting. Ooh, look at the little fella. Come on. He's just waiting for Christmas, that's all. For some cash, Yeet Wing. I like that it's called Yeet Wing now. Do you think smaller lib units, 15, 20, would be better, as good as gives you more points at other stuff? Potentially, a unit of 20 could be good. I'm really in favour of those Hurricane Crossbows, Long Vanguard Raptors. But I am going to have to see whether or not that is a viable list. So I might do a couple of TTS games with it and see how it plays. I mean, I'm glad it doesn't seem to be doing overly well, which is good, like in the competitive scene, because I would be upset if it was doing really well, because I think it's such a boring experience for the players, such a boring experience for the viewers. So I don't want Yeet Wing to be a thing. I really do think, like, that anything that makes everything happen in turn one is worse for the game, personally. But I don't know. It's a matter of normies, lol. Do you know what? Someone the other day was talking to me and was saying, talking about like Warhammer people. And I was like, you're not going to find a more talkative group of people. These are people who are willing and ready at the drop of a hat to spend 3 hours talking to a complete stranger. Like, and even if you're not like right sat there right now and be like, I'm not the most talkative role. Like, you know, you will be. Like, you're like coming out of your shell and playing Warhammer. Like, it's the future. Like, that's why we all go to these events. It's so good. It's so good. I think they're the best people. Anyway, that's what I'm going to say. I mean, there are some shit heels as well, but we'll ignore those. And they normally listen to 40k lore, so that's fine. Let's get them out of the way. What's my favourite faction to paint or play? My favourite faction to play is my Chaos Dwarves. I guess, still, for Age of Sigmar. I've always liked Seraphon, but I don't want to say that now, because they're so terrible. Such a terrible experience for everyone. But I have always liked the Seraphon as well. I really enjoy my Chaos Dwarves. So I'm just going to say my Chaos Dwarves to date. My favourite faction to paint and play all in one, which will really fuck you up, is my 30k Horus Heresy Adeptus Mechanicus. So much fun to play. You have a train, a Triaris armored conveyor. Inside that, I used to put 20 tech thralls, which are basically 2-point idiots. They're dead zombie morons with a gun that's terrible. Yeah, they're inside a Triaris armored conveyor. They run around the board. Then you've got some Mimrodons, and they're like there with their axes, and there's an Omnissiah, and everyone's like rubbing oil on machines, and it's getting really weird, and then you just battle it out. My favorite army to play. My favorite army to paint as well, because they look amazing. New 40k Mechanicus stuff looks awful, absolute terrible. Old 40k stuff, 30k Heresy stuff, the bee's knees, the dog's bananas, the full load. That's my favorite. Train, you say? It's a train. Have you never seen it? Go on to Forge World, Triaris Armored Conveyor, and it has an amazing attack. It's got a shock ram, basically, which used to do like AP, like penning hits or whatever the fuck they were. Yeah, and you were just like rumming. And then I used to like whenever I played at Heresy events, I would always like there'd always be loads of knights, and I'd always just be trying to choo-choo into some knights and kill them. It was so much fun, so much fun. Love it, love, 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 love. Love. I would love that to come into 40k, like, whole now, but they're not putting those models in there for some reason, and it's the saddest moment ever. And they look great. GC the Court models are beautiful to play. It used to be GC the Court, but Iron Hands now don't crucify me. Daniel, I'm with you. I had a whole Start of 8th edition I played. I've said this before on the show loads of times. I played 12, 14 games with my GC the Courts, which I had a huge army for. and I cried because it was so, so bad. And I just flogged it for like some insane low money at the time, which was super sad. But Gene Steeler Colts are the one. Like, just what? Just some miners from Sheffield in the 40K world, just like drilling stuff. You know, one of them turns off a bike, throws some grenades. They're just like, just they're the best. They're super cool. But I can't be asked to build or paint them now. So one day I'll go back to them, but not today. I would like to point out that most events I've seen for Warhammer have a charity raffle. I know it is mostly Warhammer. I would like to point out that most events I've seen for Warhammer have a charity raffle. I know that it's mostly... I don't know what that's in relation to, W. Sorin. Sorry. that got sexual. Niche as fuck, Rob. Yeah, I'm not trying to be niche. I'm not trying to be that guy. That's just been my favourite Warhammer experience to date. I really, really enjoyed those models. I love the lore as well. I love the Adeptus Mechanicus lore. If you haven't read Mechanicum from Black Library for the Horus Heresy, I would suggest you read it. Super cool book. You can get it on Audible and all those other like sites. I'm sure you can probably also find it in the Freeverse. That's right. Can't stop the signal now. So there's the potential to go find that somewhere. And I would advise listening to that. Super fun. Super fun. And super weird as well. Like Techno Arcana. Weird and creepy, like just really good. And I've always felt like that techno magic has always been like a really cool vibe, but that's because I'm a big Babylon 5 guy. And like after Babylon 5, if no one knows this is super niche, there was a TV show called Crusade, which is only on for a season, and in that they had techno wizards or techno mages or something. Terrible show, but I always thought that was super cool. That is just how awesome the community is. Oh, okay, W. Sorin. So what you're saying is, yes, just because there is, whenever there's events, we also end up with charity stuff, yeah. Because it's a super, super lovely community. Someone loses their army, people normally chip in money. People got a dog that's dying, like Nate did, they throw some money in. Like, everyone's just really great. This is a great community. And I agree with you, W. Sorin. Absolutely. Favorite AOS lore / book? Maybe the Wrath of the Everchosen? Maybe. I really liked that, and I really liked Forbidden Power. It was a shortish book. As for the actual narrative from Black Library, I'm yet to find one that I think is decent. So, not to be rude. I could get past the fifth series of Babylon 5. There isn't a fifth one. There isn't a sixth season, is there? There's only five seasons, Stu. Technomancers. My faction can brag that we are the few that beat the Ultramarines in the lore. Okay, well, that's good. But you should collect and play Rage Gauge and get out of... The lore bubble's really fun, but you should get into playing some games and tournaments and meeting people. Really, really fun. I really want Games Workshop to consider base size when they do points. I also feel like Games Workshop are afraid to make more elite units cheaper in points than powerful lighter because the stronger units are thematically stronger. For example, Skinks and Saurus, Ungor and Gore. Yeah, that makes loads of sense as well. Base sizing is very, very important. But it's quite an interesting one when you're talking about the design space for those models, is because if they sell X number of Saurus Knights or a box of Saurus, the probably to each guy they could pretend. I mean, Saurus for example. Let's talk Skinks. To each player, you might sell maybe 8 boxes of Skinks. Maybe you're definitely going to sell. Okay, that's 8 might be over the top. You might sell like 4 to 6 boxes of Skinks. Whereas Bastillodons, so big monsters, you probably are only ever going to sell 2. You might sell 3 or 4 if someone's being a bit wild. But you can, like Carnosaurs, you're going to sell 1 ultimately. You're only ever going to sell a Croak, not 2. A Astroloth Banner Bearer, not more. So those bigger models, they generally tend to lose money, or not lose money, because they still make shit tons of money. But I do think that they're going to move towards more medium volume units, like we've seen coming out of the Indomitus box, right? Where you end up with one unit of 3 dudes, another unit of 3 dudes. I think that's going to be a more common thing in the future, because they've realized that they can get people to buy multiples of these boxes. And those single, like Archeon still being great, Tekla still being great, I don't imagine they've sold as many Archeons as they've ever sold Chaos Knights or whatever. And I know there's a big markup on them all, but anyway. I really want Games Workshop to... Yeah, I just hope I get paints, tools, and all miniatures for Christmas. Go on, you got that. I refuse to buy any resin minis, says Luke. From Games Workshop. That's fine. That makes sense. That's completely okay. What did someone say that they were looking at some? Why is Photo website asking if I'm a robot now? Stu, I know he did that to me too. And now I'm trying to see AdMech, so that would make sense that I'm a robot. What does that mean for Guard, Orcs, and Tyranids then? You could just end up with more elite Guard, right? So you could have the concept of... You could have Guard who are more like specialized and like better, but like what's it going to mean for boys? Are we going to see like Horde Orc boys? So we saw Necrons come out, loads of Necrons. Have we seen like a Horde army come out? Not really. We saw Gene Stealer cults earlier in the year. What is the last time we've seen like a Horde-ish style model come out for 40k at least? So for Age of Sigmar, we've had Gargants recently. So those are new sculpts. We've seen Elite Elves coming. KO is Elite. I wonder what it is. Necron Warriors is the closest. Yeah, I think Necron Warriors is the closest that I can think of that's like more Horde-y. So I really think... Yeah, that really distracts from the concept of Guard, though. Yeah, they have specialists, but a lot of their flavour is their numbers. Yeah, I agree with you, KG Roos, and I'm with you. Maybe they'll just end up like... But then you could only take 10-man Guard squads anyway. Like so when you played for 30k, so like you would have like blobs of 20 or 40 Solar Auxilia, yeah? Then it felt like... But like, when is a Guard army genuinely felt like a Guard army? Like, who's playing... I haven't seen people often playing 200 infantrymen. Like, I haven't seen that. Like, yeah, I've seen, like, a mortar squad. Or maybe two or three mortar squads, which is cool. Like, that still fits in that kind of design parameter, I think. But, like, when have you seen, like, loads? Conscripts was a thing. But did you see loads of conscripts much after 8th? Like, I'm not sure. Maybe. But, like, they nerfed them. They nerfed... I'm not sure. To be honest, I do feel like they're moving away from it, like, and it does make me question what they're going to do with some of the ranges. Like Tyranids, they could just have less of the small fellas, and they could have the more kind of hive guard, kind of medium tier dudes, and some big gribbly monsters. So they can do that. Orcs, it's always about the boys, but like they put out a lot of like, it's described as the green tide, but they could put a lot of vehicles out. I don't know. Yeah. If Necron Warriors are Horde, 30 not enough. 30's pretty good. Like 30, like, but I think what people are talking more like the 100, 200 range of miniatures. In the Scottish DTS League, there's a list with 5x30 blobs of Demonettes. So yeah, like, I'm not saying that you can't build those lists, but what Games Workshop have produced recently, as in kits, they haven't really produced Horde-esque kits, I don't think. We'll see what happens with the Sinesh release. Because some of those like light cav, if they're cheap enough, maybe you could take a lot of them. But I haven't seen a kit recently that I can think of, unless someone can bring one up for me. Two wound racks. There you go. That would be fun. Games that struggle with guard aesthetic because they can't copy right World War One or World War Two tanks. I think we are going to see a new guard range. I think that's definitely true over the next year or so. And when we do see that new guard range, I feel like that guard range is going to be a complete reimagining of the Guard, ultimately. And I think we're going to see all sorts of stuff. I think we'll see Death Corps of Kree come out in plastic. Definitely got that vibe. I'm not sure why. I just got that vibe coming. And yeah, I think there's going to be some really, really interesting stuff coming out of Games Workshop for the 40k armies, at least. For Games Workshop, there's always interesting stuff coming out. So the whole new Sinesh range looks sweet as. I'm not sure I would collect it, but it looks really good. I guess I'm just waiting for plastic Chaos Dwarfs. I'm like, what army do I collect? And I'm really just holding off until more Chaos Dwarfs come out. That's my one. And they're going to come out because Games Workshop love cow-based armies. So I've got nothing but hope. Nothing but hope for myself there. Horde Army is a tough selling point for many people. We all have been taken about the struggle of collecting paint and hordes. It might just be easy because you have to sell small units. I agree with that. Grinaldi, are you more of a rules as written guy or a rules as intended guy when it comes to tournament play? I am a rules as written guy. Rules as intended is a murky water that doesn't make any sense. And if something is super janky because of rules as written, then the TO should just do something about it. Rules as intended are people just deciding they want to decide something. So I'm not into that at all. Dude, I want Chaos Wolves too. One day we'll get it. Two wound Bestigor. Oh, two wound Bestigor. They definitely need two wounds, right? They're big. They're chonky. They're so chonky. Plus, might as well give Minotaurs one extra wound as well. Some new Human Cities troops, says Gimme. Yeah. How do you guys all feel? This is my question. How do you guys all feel about the change from 25 mil to 28 mil? Do you feel it's some like surreptitious Games Workshop ploy to make you have to buy at least new bases? Or do you think it's just genuinely like 25 mil is too small to put their upscaled miniatures? Because it is true, almost all of the miniatures are getting generally upscaled, right? They're a bit bigger than they once were. So do you want, like, are you happy with the new 28 mil bases? You know, it's not lots, but it's definitely a thing. And while you decide to answer that, guys, I'm going to have a more suppy water. Because I think we're basically going to be done with 25 mils. I think if we come back to this conversation in 5 years, it'll just be anything that was 25 mils will go on to 28s. Yeah, much prefer 28s. Okay. If we get a new guard, it's probably certain that they'll be bigger. I agree with that, Stu Flynn. Bulgors, 3 plus to hit. Yeah, they definitely should have that. I'm glad they're slightly pushing the overall scale of the games up. I would agree. I think that makes sense. Which means the terrain needs to scale up as well. Again, talking about 40k terrain. 9 inches for obscuring terrain, pretty high, like really high. Like we generally have small terrain cuts. Games Workshop themselves make very small terrain kits. Like they're not a high profile at all. Very short, which is really telling for its impact in games of 40k. I don't want to rebase my recently rebased old Hammer Dwarves again. So Grinaldi, I don't think you're going to have to rebase them. I think it's just going to be the newer kits. As they release newer kits, they're going to switch up to 28s. So I don't think that they'll put like Dispossessed on to a new base size just because. I think the only reason I think any of it is going to happen is because I think that what they're looking to do is give themselves more design space to put models on. And that is the one time I will agree with them doing it. I think the upscaling does look nice. And when I do look at older Marines now versus baby Marines, I'm like, oh lol, you guys are hilarious. And I'm sure you guys have been into it for a long time. I've got that nostalgia factor, but for me, I'm like, nah, like the new ones look cool, so I'm in. People would riot if they rebase again. Yeah, I agree. They should never do it. They should never do that. They shouldn't. And I think they got lucky with Age of Sigmar, and I think they know that, and I think they're never going to fuck it up again. Personally. Can you imagine rebasing 120 Hormagons? I can't. Apart from I had to rebase 90 Orc Boys recently. So, not recently. I did it this summer. I took them from 25s over onto 32s. And that took a while. But that's what Millie puts for, baby. Just Millie put every base, and then you get loads of bases. Even though you love Taurus Heresy. Yeah, I love the Heresy, but like I wouldn't mind like them the Heresy was about the setting, and I love the miniatures, don't get me wrong, but I moved away from collecting the Marines and collected the Solar Auxilia and the Mechanicum stuff because it was just super cool and unique. And who doesn't want to be a special snowflake in a game of creativity and special snowflakes? So it was fun being the Mechanicum guy or the Solar Auxilia guy at a tournament. It was super cool. People was like, dude, that's so awesome. You'd be like, I know, I love your Terminators and your Primarch and your Spartan. Which is what it was every time. Every fucking time. Oh, Spartan. So interesting. Yeah. Forge World in the bin. No, Tom. Not the models. The new mechanical models are poop. Poop.com. Okay? They look so lame. Come on. They've taken what it was a beautiful model range coming out of Forge World. And they pooped all over them with these gross, although I'm really into the basic Rangers and Skitarii. The Skitarii can stay. Everything else can go in the bin. Maybe the horse dog monsters, they can keep. They can stay. And the chicken riders with the legs, they can stay. Everyone else, in the bin. Go into the sea. Mechanicum in 30k were broken as hell. I'm sure it was fun being the Mechanicum player. Pete, it was fun being the Mechanicum player. Thank you very much. Yeah, I loved it. Scritty Hugh, I was the knight guy. Yeah, that was one of the worst experiences to me. Collecting loads of knights and thinking it's fun to play and everyone at the tournament hating you. Wow, new experience for me. Forge World might be going to the bin as a whole with games that haven't expanded the facilities over last year. I really don't see that being the case, Keji Ruse. I think they're going to stay for a long time. So I think that's going to be good. I do like Solar Auxilia are the best Tempest eye kits. They're beautiful models. Very beautiful models. They also make really good like Astra Militarum like infantry squads. So they're super fun. I really like them. I think I start to lose steam. When you solo chat, you start to lose steam after an hour, maybe? I'm not sure. It's been an hour and a half. How do the pro painters do it? They just have music on, don't they? It's like, can we paint? That's so fucking rude. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean at all. yeah, they talk much less. probably better. It's probably better that they talk less. They go slower with the chat too. Okay. I like the chat. The chat's fun for me. Because it's basically just, I get to have a chat with a load of really fun dudes all in a quick go. So I'm pro it. I really enjoyed commentating last night again. I really loved getting back into it. I can't wait to do more. I can't wait to open up the venue and do some commentating. There's so much room for growth, like to learn, like me, Tom, Nick, all of us can like learn more and be better all the time. Although, obviously, Nick and Tom are basically perfect and flawless. But at least me, I can learn to be loads better. And then I think that there's, like, a really fun future where we just commentate games. Because I really do think that that's, like, it's just, it's really vivid, right? It's really alive. I know, I really like it, personally. Like, I'm really into it. I don't know about you guys. Did you guys find last night long? Or would it be a case of you'd only tune in for matches that you enjoy or want to see? Or what's the situation? So have you seen the new Adeptus Titanicus Mechanicum Knights? They have obvious print lines from the 3D printer. So yeah, they always do the masters on the 3D printer because they like for Forge World stuff generally. So yeah, but I didn't know that you could see them. Right, so what's everyone saying? I need more Twitch dollars than I'm missing the good game. What? That was actually a draw, interestingly. I really love to see it. Prefer AOS stuff, but I often see 4K too. Okay, I'm glad you like it. One day we'll have very small, quiet camera drones. That'll be fun. One day we'll get there. That's not as long. I think in a tournament scenario, you'll have more stuff to talk about when the table falls into a lull. Zip, zap, rap, I agree. As I think one table is also a bit long. I think now multi-table coverage is just the way forward. I'm not that much 40k, so there must be an army I like and know the rules. It's fair. As soon as the camera's turned off, the animals come out and play and somehow a draw happens. I don't know how that happened, but okay. You should stick with it to the bitter end, is the real answer. Or maybe there was collusion. That's right, collusion in 40k, the current topic of the week, which we have not yet discussed. Am I going to discuss it? I don't know. I don't know if I give a shit, to be honest, because it's ITC, so I just don't care. Is that okay to say that I just don't care because I don't care about the fucking points? Like, and hasn't it always been a grift? Like, I was talking to Pete and Val the other day. I was like, so you have to go to the American events to win the ITC? And they're like, not technically, but kind of, but not technically. And you're like, so yes. Like, yeah, yes. So, you know, it's basically an entire worldwide system to make everyone have to fly over to Las Vegas for their one event a year. And it's good grift. Like, I'm, like, really into it. Like, big pros. Like, fucking great work. But ultimately, that's how it works, right? I would like your take on the People Connected Games Workshop playtesting being engaged in this. Okay, I'll do it as simple as I've ever been able to say it, which I've said it time and time again. The playtest team should not be amateurs. And I don't mean these people are amateur playtesters. They're all wonderful people trying hard for the community. I'm just going to put that as a statement and keep it as it was. They should have playtesters who they pay money, big cash money. They make so much fucking money now. Games Workshop are minted as shit. They could get 10 of the best players in the world. They could give them wicked contracts. They could pay them to travel around the world and play games and play in the studio and report back the information. They could do a whole team. That's what they should do. And anything that they don't do, and what they do right now where they muddy the waters, where they just have influencers and shills and this other process, it just creates bad community feelings. It's terrible for the game. It means that there's all sorts of like collusionary tactics and effects that occur. Like, that's terrible. So ultimately, no matter who has done anything wrong recently or not done something wrong recently, whatever, I really do think that all of the buck should stop at Games Workshop's front door. They're making millions of pounds and using people's free labor to generate more money for themselves. And then when they can't be asked for something, like we saw with the maps, suggested new tournament size, Frontline come out and say, this is the tournament size we're using, some other event organizers. And then Games Workshop put up a community article that day and we're like, hey, we haven't said you have to. It's just suggested. Do what you want. Don't listen to us. Whatever. Like, they threw them under the bus. They're a terrible company who make a great game that I really love. So, fuck them. Fuck them forever. But, yeah, like, but they're the problem. Like, you know, we give them our money. They should do a better job. Everyone else, we don't give them their money. So they can just do what the fuck they want, like, in my opinion. Like, you know, and if they dick around, then they've dicked around, right? And just don't listen to those people or care what they say. It's as simple as that. Integrity doesn't cost much. Anyway, that's good. Wrong show for you, buddy. What's that mean? Rob, why do you think it's okay to constantly snipe, politically snipe people here and there in your show? Legend of Crustacea, I honestly don't know what the fuck you're talking about, bud. I think the only thing I've ever talked about, ever, is that racism is bad, misogyny is bad, and that's pretty much it. Don't be a fascist, and you probably won't be offended by what I say. If you are offended by what I say, probably a fascist. It's real simple, baby. It's real simple. I mean, Games Workshop are worth $4.49 billion. See? Shouldn't they just pay the people, right? they should just pay the people. Although, like, look what just happened with, like, the most hyped game of history. Like, the most hyped game ever has been Cyberpunk. It's been put back time and time again. It said it's going to have this. What was it? It's been put back time and time again. They used crunch, which is like a computer game term, or generally a gaming term, like an industry term for making people work overtime or long hours, whatever the fuck that is. So that's been really bad. And then when they finally delivered on the product, it seems like it's unfinished, really buggy. It doesn't work particularly well on loads of platforms. The general consensus is it's not overly good. I'm not saying it's not overly good, but it's like it's not a finished product. So you're talking about like a massive billion-dollar company. So maybe just the game industry needs to like grow up. I'm not really sure, right? So I don't know if there's an answer necessarily. At the end of the day, everyone's just children pretending to be adults doing their jobs, right? I am. You are. Like, that's the way the world is. So, 69 viewers. Nice, nice. Cyberpunk is so disappointing a lot, I didn't even pay attention to the stupid hype either. Like, I would have liked it. I'm a big fan of Keanu Reeves. I don't know if it is disappointing or isn't disappointing. I haven't played it, so I can't give you any, like, feedback. The only game I played two games this year. Three. I played Baldur's Gate, which was brilliant. Loved it, totally worth it. I played Final Fantasy Remake, which was brilliant, and I loved that as well. I loved that for some nostalgia vibes, like big into that. I wouldn't say it was brilliant, it was good though, I enjoyed it. And then I played The Last of Us, which probably, I said The Last of Us 1 was the best game maybe I'd ever played, and I'd argue that The Last of Us 2 is probably the best, if not the best game I've ever played. And it won Game of the Year this year. Like, it's one of the best games I've ever played. Ever. Like, ever. So good. So outrageously good. So, I've also played Age of Sigmar. Yeah. And 40K. So, I've also done those as well. But for computer games, yeah, Last of Us is the best game probably I've ever played. It's brilliant. For a variety of reasons. But mainly because of how it makes you feel as a gamer or as the person, which is like a new medium. I'm going to go on my soapbox about the game for a second. One of the things I love about computer games is you're in control. I think it's one of the things that people probably like about playing like RPGs and probably like about playing Warhammer themselves. You're in control. Like, it's your, you have some agency. Yeah. Like, so you're in control. Like, you're the player. Yeah. Like, so I imagine that's why people like World of Warcraft and all those other games and MMOs. I play World of Warcraft. I play Guild Wars 2, like a bunch of MMOs. You're like, it's you. You're the, it's your avatar, right? And so when you play a computer game, you have agency. What I loved about The Last of Us 2 is you switch agency halfway through the game, not to ruin anything. And then what you end up doing is you have two, there's a moment basically where those two conflicting agencies, like you are kind of two people at once. There's something goes on there, and then you're conflicted, and it's just, it's brilliant because you don't want to, like, you give up, or you don't want to use the one thing that you're given as a player, which is the agency to play. You're like, I don't want to be a part of that. Well, that's how I felt anyway. I was like, I don't want to be a part of this. This isn't right. This isn't what I want. And so what the game did through great story is it made me as an actor, like, I liked it. It's really, really good is all I got to say. Anyway, that's not Warhammer related, but if you ever get the chance to play it, I'd play it the whole way through and you'll have a great time. And I hope you see what I mean. So, Rob, I made a mistake. I bought Techless and my missus can't tell the difference on my spending with small models, but I think I fucked it with flabby pants. Any advice? Rob, I made a mistake. I bought Techless. My missus can't tell the difference on my spending with small models, but I think I fucked it with my flabby pants. Any advice? I would take her out for a meal. You can't do that because of lockdown. So why not just find out something that she enjoys? Give her some attention for the day. Like, be a good person. Listen to her thoughts and feelings. One of the things I've learned recently with people of all sexes is to give answers less and listen more. So when someone tells you something, I always used to give advice. I'd be like, why don't you do this? And now I just go, how does that make you feel? And they love hearing that. People fucking love hearing that question, it turns out. Someone's like, my leg's broken, yeah? They don't really want you to say, I'll fix your leg. They want you to be like, how does that make you feel? And then they're like, it really hurts. And they fucking love it. Doesn't seem helpful. I feel like fixing the leg would be more helpful, but that's a 2020 Rob learning there. So, hey, Rob, do you think Harkiron is any good? I'm just browsing eBay for Dark Elves and the Corsairs, but they are kind of shit. How can you make them work? Do you think Harkiron is any good? I don't think it's that good, buddy. Lex Prescador. It's that simple. I think they're okay. You could take some Dark Shards and a Spellcaster and reduce the save, but personally, I don't think it does anything better than that. Like, they're not, like, competing at the top end, if that's what you want. If you don't want that, you just want something that's kind of fun, take some Dark Shards. There's a Battalion, it's okay. That's it. If that helps you. When do you think Winter Points will land? I think January. empathy is the OP strat for making people like you. It's true. It's really true. Jesus Christ, Rob, that'll make a more suspicious you'll share this. Okay. Next plan, Bottle Stench. Instead, say that you didn't buy it and you got sent it by me. Yeah, from the show, because you won a prize, Bolt of Stench. You won a prize from The Honest Wargamer. Get her on the show. Wait, hold on. I'll just clip this. You can clip this now. Congratulations, Bolt of Stench, on winning, obviously, the Techless model. I can't believe you won it. I'm so happy for you. So now if you just clip that, yeah, and show her. There we go. I would, as a service, if anyone wants this service doing, please let me know, £50 a video. I feel like that's a good tax for lying to people, but I'll take it. Anyway, I gotta go. It's late. Anyway, I didn't manage to paint very much, but I enjoyed talking to you guys, which was wonderful. I will see you guys tomorrow for the rest of the stream streak. Let me just tell you guys something. It is the 11th today. So let me just double check my calendar to make sure I've got this right, because this is going to be important. So the 14th, which is a Monday. So Monday is day 269. Day 269. We know that's an important day. In the Honest Wargamer numerology system that we all love, yeah? That's an important day, 269. It will be, this is vital as the 369, right? Anyway, you guys have been wonderful. Thanks to everyone on Patreon who helps create the show. Thanks to everyone who joins live. Thanks to everyone on the podcast. Just look after yourselves. Stay healthy. I hope you have a great Christmas. And yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. Fuck you, buddies. Have a great day.